If you have your Bible tonight, I want you to turn with me to Judges chapter 16. Judges 16, we'll read one verse there and then we'll get into the message. That would be verse number 6. And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God tonight, Lord. We thank you, God, for Liberty Baptist Church, Lord, and the body, God, that you've assembled here. We pray, Lord, that we lift your name up, God, every time we come together, Lord. And we pray, God, that, Lord, when all is said and done, honor and glory would be all yours, Father. Thank you, God, for sparing us through another day, Lord. You've been good to us, Lord, and I'm grateful tonight, Lord. I want to be a thankful Christian, Lord, and realize, God, where my help is, where my hope lies, Lord. Have your will and way now, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Notice, Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth." The last time that I preached before you, I started a message and got through a portion of it on the thought of faith, the great strength of a Christian and of a nation. And we gave you this thought, that faith is no doubt under attack in the day that we live. That's Christian faith is under attack. Now, there's a lot of different faiths in the world. There's a lot of counterfeit faiths. There's a lot of counterfeit religions, friend. But let me tell you, friend, the point that I brought to you before was that of a faith that's correct. And I believe with all my heart that the Christian faith is the only faith, friend, that's going to get you to heaven. Amen. And I'm glad to be a born-again Christian tonight. I know that what I've got is real, don't you? Amen. All right, now, tonight, going a little further, we looked at this thought of a faith that's correct, and we looked over into Ephesians chapter number 4, where Paul, speaking there, said there's one body, there's one spirit, there's one hope, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God and Father of all. And I'm glad I fall under the heading of this body of Christ right here. I'm glad I've been baptized into the body of Christ. I've been born again and put into the body of Christ. And not only that, but Christ is in me. And that's one evidence that I've been saved. I've got Him living inside of me. He speaks to me when I start to do something wrong. And when I do wrong, He grieves me. And I know I've been born again because of that one fact right there. And I'm glad that a long time ago, there was an old man of God that stood up and preached, "Thus saith the Word of God to me. I heard the truth." Amen. You ought to be glad that you heard the truth one day. The truth will set you free. There's a lot of folks that's got religion today. They're still under bondage and they're headed towards the devil's hell. But I'm glad there is a faith that's correct. And I'm glad that we've got it right here at Liberty Baptist Church. We preach it, we teach it, and we try to instill it in our young people. Amen? All right, moving on now. I want you to look at this thought tonight. Not only a faith that's correct, but let's look at faith's content. Faith's content. Let's look at what Paul had to say just briefly right here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Now here is faith's content as Paul describes it right here in verse number 3. He said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." I'm glad I got some Scriptures right here that I can know what God has to say to mankind, ain't you? Amen. That's faith's foundation right there in a nutshell. God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He ascended back to the Father. And He gave us the promise that He's coming again one day to take His church out of this world. I'm glad I've got that foundation tonight. I'm planted upon that foundation. I believe it with all my heart, with all my soul. And the Word of God, friend, is true tonight. Hey, that's faith's foundation. And he goes on now. Look at these other facts about this this content of faith right here. He says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. I'm glad there's some facts about this Jesus, about the fact that Jesus died, friend. Ain't you? Hey, I hadn't got just a hope-so religion. Amen. I've got facts, friend. I've got a foundation, friend, that'll stand the storm, friend. Hey, listen to me. And when I draw my last breath, when I come to the crossing point, friend, I've got a foundation, friend. I'm not on sinking sand. I ain't going down. I'm a-going up. And I thank God for that. Hey, I've got something that's real tonight. Hallelujah. Faith's content. But now let's move on to this thing right here. Faith that's cultivated. Faith that's cultivated. You know, that's what we're trying to do tonight. Trying to cultivate our faith. You know what cultivating is? I looked it up right here. And it means this: to develop, to train, to promote growth by labor or education. Now, the Bible clearly teaches us that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. You remember that verse in your Bible? Now, you remember how that God has given mankind faith? Even men that are far out in the jungles of Africa, men and women there. The Bible teaches us that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. And the Bible says that these speak a language that's known and heard of all men. That's faith. God has given a measure of faith even through creation. Hey, it takes somebody real, real stupid now to look out into the heavens at night and say, well, there's no God. All this just took place by chance. Wouldn't it? I was looking at something on TV the other night, and they had a demonstration of the universe. And had Earth there. It looked like one little old dot there. And then just billions and billions of other stars out there. And I thought, oh my, what a God we've got. And all these things just hanging out there on nothing. And God put it out there, and God's got it all in place, and God created it all. Hey, I didn't come from no monkey, did you? Yeah, man. I may act like one sometimes, but listen to me, friend. I didn't come from a monkey. You didn't come from a monkey. Nobody evolved from a monkey. And if we had come from monkeys, friend, then the monkeys over in Africa ought to be upset. They got left out somewhere, didn't they? Why didn't they evolve? Yeah, man. Oh, faith that's cultivated. Listen now. God has given man a measure of faith. And it's up to man to do with that faith that God has given him. He can act upon that faith. And he can seek more of what God has to show. He can seek more light. Or he can turn his back on light and choose darkness. Amen? I'm glad for the measure of faith that God gave me when I was living in darkness, friend. I knew there was a God. I knew that I was lost. Hey, I'd been to church before. I had loved ones. I had family that were Christians, friend, and they were alike, friend. And every time I got around them, I felt uncomfortable, friend. Every time they mentioned the name of Jesus, I felt uncomfortable, friend. But it was God giving me light. God showing me my lost condition. And I'm glad He did today. Oh, a faith that's cultivated. I'm glad that when He came to me first Sunday morning in March of 1974, I'm glad I didn't choose darkness, but I chose light. I chose to act upon that faith, and I chose to come to Him when He was calling me. Oh, we ought to be thankful for for that little measure of faith that He gives us to get saved. When He saved me, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know anything about theology. Still don't know a whole lot of nothing much, but I know a whole lot more than I used to. But I did know that I was lost. And I knew there was one named Jesus that was the Savior of the world. It was my only hope. And I'm glad when I cried out to Him in a lost condition, in a repentant heart, that He heard me and that He saved me. I'm talking about a faith that's cultivated now. We need to grow our faith. Amen? God intends for us to grow. Right? If we grow in faith and we learn more and more, as we grow in faith, God wants us to reach out to those of little faith and help them to grow. God intends for us to raise up the next generation to be children of faith, to come up and keep the fire of God burning at the house of God. Amen? Amen. All right, listen to me. A faith that's cultivated comes through the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, one reason I can stand before you and say that my faith has grown is through hearing the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, looking at men of God anointed with Holy Ghost power. Friend, they look into the Word of God and how God feeds them and how they project it out through preaching. And it's helped me to grow through the years in faith. Not only that, through the preaching of the Word of God, friend, it becomes planted in you through the studying of the Word of God. That's how it's so vital and so important in our lives, friend, that we have a daily feeding off the Word of God. Amen? Now, if faith needs to be cultivated, faith needs to be growing in our life. We don't need to be at a standstill. But now, like I said, the Word of God is essential. The Word of God is quick. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart, friend. And to know what God is saying to us, friend, out of the Word of God is so essential in our life, friend. We're to study the Word of God. We're commanded to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And if we don't study the Word of God, we ought to be ashamed. Listen, one of these days, we're going to step out of this life and we're going to meet God. There's too many people today that are just living for temporal things. Listen, we're either soaking in temporal things or eternal things. Amen? And we better get our mind on eternal things, because we're not promised tomorrow. Amen. And so, this Word of God, it needs to be planted into our hearts and lives on a daily basis. This measure of faith, the faith that we have, needs to be cultivated. The faith that we have needs to be worked. It needs to be exercised, and it needs to be growing. Y'all agree with that? All right. I'll take an amen anytime y'all want to give one. Amen. Faith that's cultivated. The Word that's involved and the weeding that's involved. Weeding. Anybody got a garden? Just one out of this whole bunch. Where y'all do y'all's garden? Down to produce stand? Listen, I got a little old small garden at home. The deer love it, or the raccoons or whatever it is. I had a big old pretty cantaloupe out there yesterday. Prettiest one I had, Brother Jerry. And I thought, well, I'm going to let it stay out, you know, one more day. And I went out there this evening, that thing was just poosh, gone. Somebody enjoyed it. But listen, The weeding, friend. We have to be careful. Right? That's why we're so dogmatic about the King James Bible. It's proven. Why do you need anything else? Hey, listen to me, friend. The weeding of the Word of God. The Bible says that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times many will depart the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Don't fall in with that crowd. And the way we're going to do it, friend, is to know what thus saith the Word of God. Don't believe whatever man tells you. Read it and study it for yourself. Get grounded in the Word of God and know when a man stands up if he's preaching the truth or teaching the truth or not. Amen. That's how a lot of churches get in a mess. They'll bring in somebody, friend, and he'll go to teaching some kind of damnable heresy, friend, and the people don't know where it's correct or not. They just take it for granted that he's telling the truth. That's how so many places has got in a mess. And how the glory of God has departed from a lot of places, friend. The weeding, friend, we better protect the faith that we have. Listen, God has given us a responsibility at Liberty Baptist Church. God has blessed this church for what we stand for. Amen? We hadn't compromised, we hadn't liberalized, and we're in the old past, friend, and God is honoring it. And so I want to keep it that way, don't you? For our children. I want this place to still be on fire for God 50 years from now if the Lord don't come back. I want to see some of these little old kids grow up and take our places at the house of God. Oh, but we got to do some weeding along the way. Amen? Be careful. Be careful what you hear. Listen, sometimes it's not going to be popular to take a stand. Listen, we live in a day of compromise. I mean, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how some old churches that once stood for God, that once stood on this book right here, how they've compromised and gone liberal. Amen. We're going to have to stand. Sometimes we may have to stand all alone, friend, but let's be the last one standing. Amen. Faith that's cultivated. The Word, the weeding, and the working. Now, I want you to notice something in the book of James right here. Turn over to James chapter 2 with me. James chapter 2, and verse number, we'll skip on down to verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Listen to what this says now. Show me thy faith without works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Hey, people ought not to have to ask us if we're a Christian. Right? If they're around us a while, they ought to be able to see it in us. They ought to be able to see our faith. And they're going to see it through our works and through our deeds and how we treat people around us and how we conduct ourselves in the presence of everybody else. Faith. Working faith, friend. Hey, we're not to be a do-nothing Christian. Amen? God is looking for some people to participate in the faith. There's work to do. Hey, we're supposed to be evangelizing the world. Amen? What can I do? How about just starting it with your own family? It'd be a good place to start, wouldn't it? If I ask you a show of hands in here, everybody in the house has probably got somebody in their home or in their family that's lost. Well, we better get to work. Amen? People need to see that our faith is not dead. Amen. And he goes on, he says, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Sound like God don't approve a whole lot of of Christians that are not involved in sharing their faith and doing some kind of work for God, don't it? Amen? We're supposed to be working. God's got a work for each one of us to do. And we need to be seeking what God would have us to do in our lives on a daily basis. Faith that's cultivated. Now, let's move on to this thought. Not only a faith that's correct, faith's content, faith that's cultivated, but faith's confidence. Confidence. Faith is, I guess you could say that faith is being totally, not just hope that God's word's correct, but faith is knowing that God can be trusted. Knowing, being totally confident, totally sold out that what God has said, what God has promised, God will perform it. No matter what the circumstances. No matter if everything in our life is falling in around us, friend, God can be trusted. God will never change His Word. God will never go back on His Word. No matter what's happening in our life, don't listen to the devil. God can be trusted, friend. I'm talking about faith's confidence. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, friend, you'll notice right here that God starts off in this chapter right here and He says that faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And He said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And He goes on then and He names a person after person after person through this chapter. There's some 39 verses or so in here. And all these characters, friend, trusted God. God is using Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, David, Samson, all these great Bible characters. God uses their lives as a witness to you and to me, friend, that He can be trusted no matter what comes our way. And all these people that He's mentioned right here, friend, they had troubles, they had trials, they had things that they had to go through in life, just like you and I do, but they trusted God and God brought them through it all. Amen. God can be trusted, and we ought to have confidence in our faith, friend. We ought to have confidence in our God. Right? Amen. Listen to me, friend. When God spoke to Noah back in the book of Genesis right there, He said the earth was filled with violence and wickedness, and God chose Noah. He spoke to Noah, and He said, I see the wickedness of man, and I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. But the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God told Noah, He said, prepare you an ark. Wow. God told Noah, I'm going to destroy it with a flood. And God told Noah to build this great ark, some 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 3 stories tall. And He told him to build it out on dry ground. Now, guess what? Noah didn't have to go home and think about it. Noah didn't have to pray about it. Noah believed God. And Noah acted upon the commands that God gave him. And God brought Noah through the flood because he trusted God. He believed God. And a lot of times in life, when we get in storms and the floods and trials and troubles of life come our way, friend, let's just look to God. Let's just believe God that He's going to see us through, friend. Amen. Same thing with the 3 Hebrew boys. When they were to be cast into the fire because they wouldn't bow to old Nebuchadnezzar's image and they wouldn't dance to his music over there. And old Nebuchadnezzar was full of rage and fury and he came to him and said, boy, I'm going to give you one more chance now. When you hear the music start now, you better bow down and worship. I'm going to cast you into the fiery furnace. And then he said, who is the God that's going to deliver you then? But they said, well, we know that our God's able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. He's able to deliver us out of your hand, O King. But they said, if not, but if not, but if He don't do it, If things don't work out in our favor, we still ain't going to bow. We're still going to believe and trust God. And you better believe today, friend, the world is trying to get you to dance to its music. Amen. Oh, yes. You better believe the devil is out there trying to lure our young people away with the things of this world, friend. We need to raise up some kids, friend, that won't bow to the things of the world, won't dance to the world's music. This CMT, this MTV, and all this Christian rap, and all this rap is a bunch of junk out of hell. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Faith's confidence. Have you got the kind of confidence that these people had? There was people over in this chapter right here, friend, that faced death. They had a chance to be delivered from death, but they said, no. You deny God and we'll deliver you. No. No. Wonder if our faith would be that strong. Wonder if we've cultivated our faith in our life to be that firm a foundation that we'd choose death rather than deny our God. Think about that. You know, there's a lot of Christians over in the Middle East that are faced with that right now. There's Christians, there's some Arab Christians. They're few in number. And they're being executed as we speak tonight. They get the option of denying Christ and turning to Islam or having their head cut off. Many of them are getting their head cut off because they won't deny Christ. I wonder if our faith would be that strong. Our confidence would be that strong. Over in the book of Judges, you'll find that old Gideon over there. God said, go get them Midianites and them Amalekites. I'm going to deliver them into your hand. Now, Gideon probably felt pretty good when he set out there. He had 32,000 with him. God said, that's too many. Well, there's 22,000 of them turned back because they were scared. He had 10,000 left. God said, that's too many. God reduced it down to 300 men. And the Midianites and the Amalekites, the Bible says that they were down in the valley over here. All those from the east were in the valley over there. Looked like grasshoppers. Like the sands of the sea in number over there. 300 men. Go get them, God said. I'm going to deliver them into your hand. Took some faith, didn't it? Took some trust, didn't it? But God kept His Word. God performed exactly what He said He'd do, but it took a step of faith by those 300 to go out there and take the challenge. A lot of times the challenge in our life may seem big. My Lord, what a bunch of little mealy-mouthed Christians we are sometimes. God speaks to us to go down the road to our neighbor and witness to him. We want to crawl up in a turtle shell and hide somewhere. Scared. God help us. We need some boldness in our life, don't we? Amen. When God says go, we ought to go. God says witness somebody, we ought to witness. God says pray, we ought to pray. God says that we ought to be obedient. Amen. We ought to have that much confidence in our God. Amen. Faith's confidence ought to be taking us forward. Let me ask you, are you at a standstill in your Christian walk, in your Christian life? Or are you moving forward? Is your faith being cultivated? Are you growing as a Christian? Ask yourself that question. Am I growing? Am I closer to God than I was a year ago? Have I grown in the Word and knowledge? Am I moving forward? Paul said, I press toward the prize. We ought to be pressing on. Amen? Paul had obstacles. Boy, the devil fought him every day, but he kept on pressing on, didn't he? You know what we ought to do? We ought to thank God for people, men, women, boys, and girls, that'll just keep pressing on. Amen. Don't let this thing die out. If we don't go forward, friend, there ain't nowhere else to go but backwards. Amen. All right, I'm going to close here in just 1 minute here. Faith, the great strength of a Christian and a nation. A faith that's correct. Faith's content. Faith that's cultivated. Faith's confidence. But then lastly, there's faith's conclusion. Conclusion. One day, friend, when we draw our last breath, when the Lord comes back, we see Him face to face. There'll be no more faith. It'll be sight. Amen? It'll be sight. Listen, the devil has got people so caught up in temporal things, that we have little time to give thought to eternal things. But one day we're going to meet God. I think one big problem in America today, friend, faith has been under attack. And we hadn't kept the battle up. We hadn't kept the fight up. Amen. Listen to me. Mamas and daddies, your kids is not going to get all the training that they need at church. They're not going to get all the God that they need at church. They need it at home. They need mamas and daddies that are faithful, that are filled with the Holy Ghost, and are dedicated. They need to see your faith on a daily basis, demonstrated at home. It'll make a difference in their life. Enormous difference. They need it. You owe it to them. You owe it to them. You hear me? You owe it to them. Stand with me.